And pleased to be welcomed in by the Auburn Observer's Justin Ferguson. Ferg, hope you're having a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, so I don't get JJ, but I get you and Javon. So this is probably going to be the best segment I've ever done on this show.
I was about to say, do you want to go have fun with Ferg? A, Javon's here.
That is true.
B, JJ's not. And then C, I was going to throw in, saw your Twitter. I did, I guess, a JJ thing in this way. But the Dr. Pepper shake is here. So it is a fun with Ferg day.
No, it's strong. Yeah, JJ texted me, and then I expected to hear his voice, but then when I heard you pick up the phone, call the phone, I was like, all right, well, we're going to get rolling today.
We certainly hope so. We appreciate the time as always, Ferg. And let's start off with this Auburn basketball team. It's obviously the talk of the town. Number two in the country. First and foremost, let's just talk about the ranking itself. A lot to do about that, and Auburn Twitter attacking a few folks yesterday. I don't know, where do you stand on this number two team or number two ranking and just what everyone's talking about here?
Yeah, so Auburn would be the number one team in the country if two people decided not to be really dumb with their ballots. That's it. I mean, that's it. When you have more first place votes than the other team, you should be number one. And the only thing that can switch that is if you have outlier ballots, and there are two of them. You know, Gonzaga and Auburn were both either number one or number two on pretty much every ballot. Some had them at three, some had them at four, and that's fine. I mean, I think you can make that debate. That's good. You know, anywhere in the top four makes sense. But nobody voted Gonzaga lower than fourth, yet Auburn had someone vote them sixth and another one vote them ninth. And when you miss out on the number one ranking by 4 points, that's your culprits, folks. Those are the two. And, like, you can sit and argue about, like, okay, well, is it smart to use predictive analytics in your ballot? You know, what measurements you use. Like, I voted in the AP poll before. I would lie to you. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I didn't at least look at KenPom and some other things when I did my ballots. So, like, I'm not going to fault somebody there. But to base it all on that is a bad misapplication of what those rating systems are for. And number two, it's just like when you love getting the attention that much, right, and you welcome it and you're willing to, like, you know, bring that in and, like have a story written about you about it. I mean, come on. Like, you're just doing it just to get under people's skin. And this dude's been doing it for a while. So, like, it's not surprising. But, yeah, I mean, it keeps Auburn from being number one in the country. It's an accomplishment. Does number one really matter in the grand scheme of things? No, it's a sport where you have a 68-team tournament to determine a national champion, and nobody who votes in the AP poll has anything to do with who makes the tournament field. But if you're Auburn, you've never been number one before. This fan base would love it. This program would love it. Bruce Pearl has talked about that. And yet you're being denied by two guys who are trying to outsmart everybody else in the room. And that's just kind of one of the things of, you know, it's important. The poll is important to a lot of people. But it also kind of tells you how stupid this whole thing is if two people can really determine so much for what a program should be.
Ferg, I want to get into the Auburn-Ole Miss game this past weekend. Of course, Auburn having to overcome a 14-point deficit to win the game in Oxford. What were your takeaways from that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive to see Auburn battle that back like that because, you know, I think everybody watching that game, and I was there in Oxford, like, you could tell everyone was kind of surprised that, like, wow, Ole Miss isn't missing shots at all, and they're not turning the ball over, period, and they're not committing fouls, period, for most of that first half. It's like, that's not sustainable, right? That's not a sustainable strategy. But, you know, when it keeps happening for such a long stretch of time, and Ole Miss should get a ton of credit for the way they played in that first half, you just kind of know, it's like, okay, this isn't going to work out, you know, long term. And KD Johnson's run there at the end with the steals and the. I mean, Ole Miss played almost a perfect first half of basketball, and they were only up by six at home. It just shows you what this Auburn team's capable of. And so they battled back really hard. And again, they did it with defense. You know, we can talk all day long about how good this Auburn offense is and how many weapons they've got. And Jabari Smith is a number one overall pick, and Wendell Green Jr. can hit from anywhere on the floor and X, Y, and Z. This team's built on defense. This team's built on the fact that this is the best defense Bruce Pearl has ever had. This is a defense that is one of the best in the country. And they do a good job of when they lock in and get going, they just make life miserable for the other team. And so winning it with defense, getting some timely buckets, when Ole Miss pushed back late, they slammed the door on them. It's just Auburn. They're going to have a run where their defense is awesome and it's going to overcome a lot. And then if teams start kind of battling back, they know how to kick the door in and just say, all right, game's over. So Ole Miss deserves a lot of credit. This is a team that has always been a thorn in Auburn's side, especially in the Bruce Pearl Kermit Davis era. Wonderful win, and it was kind of the quintessential Auburn basketball win. It had a comeback. It had Jabari Smith doing some insane stuff. It had Walker Kessler putting up a crazy stat line. And it all came down to the fact that Auburn played defense, better when it mattered most.
And Ferg, as we look now ahead at this Georgia team tomorrow, a team that Auburn is favored to beat by 22 points, which is a gargantuan line for a conference game, and then obviously the big one against Kentucky Saturday. So with this Georgia game, it feels, Bruce Pearl called it a trap game. Obviously, when you have something as big as Kentucky over the weekend, it would be tempting, but factors to maybe say Auburn will be focused would be, well, A, it's Georgia, and they don't like Georgia, and then B, this number two ranking that we have already talked about. Where do you think this Auburn team shakes out as far as energy and their desire in this game?
Oh, they're going to be locked into this game, and I think number two is going to play a part into it. But also, this is their first game back at home. They were on the road both games last week, so it's been a week and a half since they've been at home, and they feed off of that. They love playing in front of that crowd, and I mean, why wouldn't you? But also, think about how many dudes on this team are from Georgia. Think about where Katie Johnson might try to kill Tom Crean during this game. And that's going to be worth the price of admission. And so, there's so much riding on it. They can't take Georgia lightly. Georgia's bad, but I will say this. Georgia's defense is atrocious. Their offense isn't that bad. Their offense, I would take over some of the teams Auburn has played here. I would take them over South Carolina, and on good days, I would take them over Ole Miss's offense. So they're going to be a team that they're not going to give up. They're going to keep hammering away. They're going to keep doing whatever it takes to stay in a basketball game. They haven't really gotten blown out on the final scoreline much this season, even though their record's really bad. So, I know they can't overlook this team. And this Georgia team split last two seasons with them. Now, last year's Georgia team had Sevier Wheeler and KD Johnson on it. And the year before that, they had Anthony Edwards, and Auburn didn't have Isaac Okoro when they played against them. This Georgia team doesn't have any of that, and this Auburn team has more of anything they've probably ever had in terms of talent and depth. So, it should be a comfortable win for Auburn. But I don't think if Georgia hangs around in this game or maybe even leads a little bit, it's in it at halftime or something like that, it's not going to be because Auburn wasn't focused and locked in, I don't think. It's just probably going to be the fact that Georgia's got some dudes that can create some stuff on offense, and they know that Tom Crean is a Tom Crean team is going to play hard for all 40 minutes, probably because they're terrified of their head coach.
Ferg, looking forward to the Saturday game against Kentucky. Of course, Kentucky number 12 in the country. I want you to describe the environment that you think is going to be presented at Auburn Arena and how it might be perhaps the biggest game Auburn Arena has ever had.
It is the biggest game Auburn Arena has ever had. I can go ahead and tell you that. This is from Scott Scroggins, the statistician, just god of Auburn athletics. He pointed out last night that this is the first time two top 12 teams will have ever played against each other in Auburn Arena. This is it. This is going to be the big one. It's nationally televised on network TV. It's a CBS game. It is the lead-in to the Titans and the Bengals. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game. And so in the arena, it's going to be wild. I mean, it's going to be any of the previous Auburn-Kentucky games, if you've been there, you know what it's like. It's like the Roman Coliseum. Everyone's out for blood for every single minute of action in the game. It's back and forth. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be intense. It's just going to be a really, really intense environment, and it should, because this Auburn team will have a chance. If they beat Georgia tomorrow, they will have a chance to beat Kentucky, put themselves even further ahead of the rest of the contending pack. I know A&M is still undefeated, but I'm interested to see how all that shakes out. But they would be kind of the front runner in the SEC, and they would put even more distance between themselves and the contenders in the league, lock down a number one ranking for potentially the first time you've ever seen it as a program. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be the best atmosphere I think Auburn Arena's ever seen. It's going to be one of the best atmospheres, if not the best atmosphere Auburn basketball has ever seen. And, you know, the rankings and the stakes speak for themselves. There's a reason why it costs you like $350 just to get a seat at this game right now. That's just how it's going to be.
Looking at that game and looking at the matchups, is the matchup to watch Oscar Tshiebwe versus Walker Kessler, or what else should be kind of important for Auburn to focus on?
Yeah, no, it is, because I think if there's any player in college basketball that could really give Walker Kessler a hard time, it's Oscar Tshiebwe. Like, he is playing at an unreal clip right now. He is rebounding better than anybody we've seen in college basketball in a long time. He's a really good scorer. He's a good shot blocker as well. He's a man child. Like, he's the best player, I think, in terms of performance that we have in college basketball right now. I think Jabari Smith and like Chet Holmgren and those guys are the most talented dudes. But Sheboy's the best right now in just of what he is doing for his basketball team. So that is the matchup. I mean, Kessler's going to have to hang in there and hold his own and match that kind of intensity and physicality that you know Oscar's going to bring to the table there. But I'm also interested in the backcourt matchup, because Kentucky played Tennessee last Saturday and could not miss and put a whole lot of points on this Tennessee team that had a really good defense coming into it statistically. And Tshiebwe had a good game, but like, it was more of what Kentucky did with their guards, hitting shots that they hadn't really been hitting super consistently all season and just getting it done on offense. Auburn's backcourt is going to have to play a really, really good game against these guys. Ty Washington is playing really good basketball right now, like right at the level of any point guard you'll take in college basketball right now. So Ty and Oscar, they've got two guys that are playing, you know, just elite basketball. And Auburn's got guys like that too. But for Auburn's guards, they've got to step up on defense, and then they've got to make it happen on offense as well, because I just think every shot that goes into the air, every time the ball goes into the paint, it's just going to be a bloodbath between Tshiebwe and Kessler, and when Dylan Carwell has to get in the game, when Jalen Williams has to get in the game, what Jabari Smith's got to do when he comes down there as well. So it's that guard. I think this is one of those games where, you know, we'll look at the front court because it's so star-studded on both sides, but I think the winner of this game is going to be the one that has the better backcourt performance. And I think Auburn's backcourt's been more consistent this year, but Kentucky's got the talent and the star power to really, really light up the scoreboard and play well on defense when they're in a groove.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us here on the Tuesday afternoon edition of Sports Call. Last question for you, Justin, and it'd be remiss if we didn't hit on this Auburn football news. Robbie Ashford transferring in from Oregon, going to Auburn, and it seems like there's been some type of cosmic trade between Auburn and Oregon, it feels like, in the offseason. But what do you make of this transfer and what the quarterback room is looking like?
Yeah, Robbie Ashford is a fascinating case. I think this is a guy you take a flyer on and see if he can, you know, he can emerge and be the one, you know, for either for you right now or maybe down the road. He's got a ton of eligibility left. Hadn't played yet in college ball. Quarterback, he had some injuries when he was at Hoover. So it's been a while since we've seen him play the quarterback level, like, long-term for a while. But he was good. He was really good in high school. He's got he's a really good athlete, obviously. You know, played baseball. And so he's going to bring that kind of that athleticism and that, you know, some of that cross sport, some of those cross sports instincts that you see a lot of times when guys play multiple sports. He's going to bring that to the table. But yeah, this is a dude you take a flyer on and say, okay, well, he was really highly rated coming out of high school. Hadn't clicked for him yet at Oregon. They've had another bunch of guys ahead of him, but he's an in-state kid. Makes a lot of sense. You know, put him into the shuffle right here at quarterback and see what comes out. He's gonna be in the mix, and I think, you know, for Auburn, you can never have too many options at quarterback trying to sort itself out. Now, I imagine after spring ball, you might see some movement at the position, or you know, guys kind of changing up kind of where depending on where they sit. But Ashford has a skill set and has a makeup that is different than a Demetrius Davis, that is different than a Zach Calzada or a TJ Finley or a Holden Garner. So put it in there and see which one of these guys comes out and clicks. I mean, Auburn does not have a surefire, like, you know, locked in, this is QB1 kind of dude on their roster right now at quarterback. And, like, that might be worrying to some fans, and I get that. But, like, also, that's what practices are for. And so Auburn's going to come in with a lot of fresh eyes with Austin Davis coming in, Brian Harsin taking more of a role in overseeing the offense. And just I think there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of movement and a lot of interesting kind of interplay between these guys. And Ashford, if it works, Ashford's a guy that could be a really good quarterback for Auburn in a while. And maybe it just wasn't working out in Oregon, and maybe Auburn's the place that he can make it happen. But he was a highly rated recruit coming out of high school for a reason, and I think it makes sense that you bring in an in-state kid that's got a lot of upside left and see if he could be the one for you moving forward, especially with the way quarterbacks are shuffling this offseason.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today. $6 a month, $60 a year gets you access to everything Auburn Observer has to offer. Justin, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to seeing you at a very fun environment in Auburn Arena this week.
Absolutely. Talk to y'all later.